In the name of the one God, who creates us, who calls us, and who makes us holy. Amen. I relate strongly to this gospel passage, not because my employers have been so miserable, not because I have cousins who are either labor lawyers or union organizers, but because of a little walk that I did 2 years ago. It's called the Camino. It's a medieval pilgrimage from southwest France to northwest Spain. To do the Camino, you need only walk the last 100 miles. But true pilgrims do the whole thing. You start at Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port. You cross the Pyrenees and the Spanish frontier near Roland's Fountain. A few days later, you've walked through Pamplona. Exactly 2 years ago today, I was in Estella drinking wine from the wine fountain and began the day that way. Over the next 37 days, walked 802 kilometers. But there are some that only do the Camino in stretches, especially the Europeans who will do a week at a time or 2 weeks while they have occasion. And then there are those that might come halfway along, or those that start at Sarria and simply do the last 100 miles or 160 kilometers. And let me say that there is some jealousy, perhaps, certainly some backbiting about those who join the Camino near the end. Who are these grousing so much about the conditions of the walk? They didn't walk 20 days across the meseta. That's the plain on which the rain in Spain must fall. They didn't have to go up and down the mountains. They just walked through the lovely, lush province of Galicia, and they got the same reward that I did. It's called a Compostela. It simply means a certificate. Some worked all day. Some worked part of the day. Some worked only the last hour, and yet received the same reward. And the complaint is made that the landowner doesn't seem fair. After all, some have done more work than others. And in that self-referencing form of justice where we put ourselves at the center, we feel ourselves hard done by because we were all treated the same way. Surely I walked farther, I should get a better certificate. Surely I worked harder, I should get more pay. But the good man of the house, and while I wouldn't commend his as a best practice to flaunt what he did, nevertheless says, I have done you no wrong. I have measured you, your work by the accustomed wage, to which you yourself agreed. This is not the fine print at the bottom of the contract. It was stated clearly at the beginning of the day. And so now what happens? Do you grudgingly take what is yours and go home and complain about the good man of the house? Or do you try to rationalize what you have done and be satisfied? Or do you find the dignity and worth somewhere else? Matthew's gospel was written sometime after Jesus' own ministry, and it becomes clear in these parables and stories of the kingdom that the church has already been established in some way. You might remember last week's gospel. Lord, Peter says, if a member of the church sins against me, how often ought I to forgive? Clearly, there's already an extent church, not just some fellows following Jesus around the Galilean countryside on the road to Jerusalem. Matthew is writing to a community that he already knows. And I wonder what the conversation is like when the newly baptized are claiming the same rewards as those who perhaps have been persecuted, or those who left family and employment and everything they had to follow Jesus. is one's salvation worth more than another's? Clearly, for the landowner, it is not. Your work, your worth, your dignity is the same no matter who you are. Do you know the difference between a business correspondence and a love letter? I've written both. Indeed, the love letters were in the time when those of you who are old enough to remember airmail used to have little blue flimsies that you wrote on five sides, sealed around the edges, wrote the address on the one side. It was self-stamped with a Par Avion sticker. Nowadays, I suppose we would send a text or maybe even FaceTime. But you put as much as you could into that little flimsy blue thing. And while I was in the Navy at the time, that's how I corresponded with the one I loved at home. But I've also done job applications, and I've done some correspondence, certainly on behalf of the church. Block paragraphs, the things that I learned in Business Correspondence 101. The letter to the Romans is business correspondence. Paul was sending his resume and his theology ahead of him to Rome. But the letter to the Philippians is a love letter. He cherishes the people of Philippi who cared for him and share his persecution. And he reminds them to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't matter who you are or what your standing might be in the community. He commends everyone's virtues and gifts, and this will become clear through the next 4 weeks, that as we imitate Christ in some small way, we are hallowed by God. Whatever is good, whatever is virtuous, whatever is notable, Paul will conclude, are worthy of the peace of God which will pass all understanding, because we live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. And sometimes it doesn't seem fair. You could spin the fairness text out for a year and still not grasp the fullness. But God isn't fair. Let me say that again. God is not fair, because God has offered me salvation. I don't deserve it. I'm not sure that my life has been worthy of the gospel of Christ every morning when I wake up or every night when I go to bed. God is not fair. He honors and values those whom I would perhaps despise. God is not fair. God offers promise and blessing to everyone. And if we claim our own at the detriment of others, or think that we should have more because we are more virtuous, we're guilty of a heresy. It's called Pelagianism. It's this notion that you can warrant your own salvation and that original sin doesn't matter. And if that doesn't matter, then Christ's sacrifice on the cross is meaningless. And if we think that God is simply keeping a ledger of accounts for each of us, then all we do is think that God is fair. But God is not fair. God will give us each what has been promised. Whether at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, or the end of the day, God's promise of salvation is here and now. We may not have been followers of Christ our whole life. We may have strayed and returned to the fold. Some of us may be what are called lifelong or cradle Anglicans, and so we should get more dispensation of salvation rewards because we were carried here when we were infants. Thankfully, God is not fair and treats us the same. And the essential dignity which is ours in humanity and in creation is honored by God, who sent the Son to die for the sins not only of me, but of the world. Most of us can quote John 3:16. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But my challenge is to quote John 3:17. Because God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Not just me, not just you, but the salvation of God is for everyone, because God is not fair. So live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. Claim the reward that is yours, given by the landowner at whatever time you are met, and share the blessings of God's salvation with everyone you meet. And then you too will be a laborer in the vineyard. Amen.